UNESCO Juba and partners meet this morning to present and validate an action plan for the preparation for nomination dossier for Boma Badinglo migratory landscape.
And the dossier will be submitted to the UNESCO World Heritage Committee. Well, to tell us more about today's meeting and to give us an insight into the action plan for the Boma Badinglo landscape is Mr. Beku Thomas, National Program Officer, Culture UNESCO Juba, and Caroline Mantel, Culture Program Specialist, UNESCO Regional Office for Eastern Africa, and Mr. Koen Meyers, Natural World Heritage Expert. Now, to begin with, what is the Boma Badinglo migratory landscape all about?
This is one of the number of engagement that UNESCO had with the government of South Sudan through the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports, right from the time of their preparation for the ratification of the convention, UNESCO convention. As we knew very well that South Sudan ratified three of the UNESCO convention, 2003 convention, 2005 convention, and particularly this meeting of today is under 1972 convention concerning the protection of the world cultural and natural heritage in South Sudan. And after that, there was a lot of preparation going on. For instance, the preparation of file for inscription of the sites. For instance, Boma National Park, Sud Wetlands, and Denzuber Selevru site. Denzuber Selevru site is a cultural site, but Boma National Park and Sud Wetlands are nature. So there were a lot of preparation. Then there came a preparation of the management plan for Boma National Park, and this was extended to Badinglo National Park. That's why it is referred to Boma Badinglo Migratory Management Plan. And thanks to people and the government of the Kingdom of the Netherlands for their generous financial support to do all this. But today's meeting is intended to present an action plan to the government stakeholders, development partners, NGOs, and community representatives who will be attending this meeting of today, so that at the end of the day that they are able to validate this action plan. The idea is that this is not a UNESCO-led initiative. This is the initiative of the government of South Sudan through the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports, and the Ministry of Wildlife Conservation and Tourism, that they have requested for a World Heritage Site. So we are asking them that, okay, if this is what you ask for, and then today's meeting will show you, okay, these are the requirements that this has to happen. So this meeting will be really quite important for us all, that this action plan is presented, and then at the end of the day we should be able to validate this action plan.
Yes, and as we talk about this meeting of today, what are some of the key issues that today's meeting seeks to highlight in relation to this particular landscape?
Just to return for 1 second to your last question, you're asking, what's the Boma Badinglo migratory landscape all about? It's all about one of the longest migration route, if not the longest migration route in the world. And this is something that makes this natural landscape rise above importance of South Sudan heritage to actually be something that the world could be concerned about. The World Heritage Convention, it protects places like the Pyramids of Egypt, Taj Mahal, the Great Barrier Reef, places all around the world that countries consider. These places are so important that if, for example, South Sudan can't protect this landscape, everyone in the world needs to come together to ensure these places are there for our future generations. So as this is such an important migratory landscape, and it also has a lot of important cultural components from all the communities living there, this is something that one of the three sites that South Sudan has identified to think, we think this could be World Heritage status. So the key issue of today's meeting is to explain to key stakeholders. So this means, of course, the different ministers. So you have the Minister of Wildlife, who's in charge of this site, but it's also, as part of the World Heritage Convention, it also goes under the Ministry of Culture, Youth and Sports. But more importantly, a place like this, for it to be safeguarded in South Sudan, it's going to need the Ministry of Justice to make sure it's got the legislation. It's going to need the Ministry of Mining to control the development. It's going to have Ministry of Youth, I mean, gender, all of the different ministries have to be concerned. So our idea today is to sensitize the different ministries. What are we trying to do? What are the responsibilities of having a World Heritage Site, and what are the potential rewards and benefits? But more so than the government, we have to make sure that the community stakeholders in that region are on board as well. Mm-hmm. So we've invited some key NGOs, different leaders and people to come and listen today. And then next week, the National Natural World Heritage expert, Kuhn Myers, and Betchu Morita from our Juba office, they're going to travel to the site and start meeting with local communities. So the whole idea is to explain to them, what is this World Heritage status? How can it benefit you, and what are the responsibilities?
Yes, let's begin from there. How can it benefit you, and what are some of the responsibilities? What will you tell us about this particular World Heritage Site?
It's the longest migratory route in the world, so that makes it very unique in terms of a natural phenomenon. It's not found anywhere in the world. So South Sudan has this uniqueness that is that you cannot compare to any other site in the world. And I think that's an important asset, not only a natural asset, but also an economic asset. Mm-hmm. If you look at other countries, how they have managed their tourism and benefited from their tourism in your neighboring countries like Kenya, Uganda, and even if we go a bit further, Tanzania. Tanzania, 19% of their GDP comes from tourism, and that is based around several World Heritage Sites, like the Serengeti, Zanzibar, all these sites which have gained World Heritage status because of their uniqueness have been able to attract an enormous amount of tourism, and that also benefits the local communities. So at the moment, we need to think about long-term development. We need to think beyond the conflict. At one moment, the conflict will come to an end, and then World Heritage can really constitute a pillar of long-term development, and also a pillar, a platform for national reconciliation. Mm-hmm. It's not only the pride of the world, but it's a pride of South Sudan as well. You can be very proud to have this unique site in your country, and I think nominating this unique site as a World Heritage property will come with a lot of benefits, of course also certain responsibilities in terms of management, in terms of protection.
You did mention something very important, Mr. Kuhn, about, you know, this is the world's largest migratory landscape, as you did mention, and has come with a lot of benefit that South Sudan will gain. For at the moment, of course, the country has been in conflict, and is South Sudan gaining anything from it, or what needed to be done for South Sudan to actually begin benefiting from this particular World Heritage migratory landscape?
I think one of the most important things, not only for the country, but also, well, for the country first and foremost, but is that even the fact of South Sudan publishing and selecting its tentative list, what we call tentative list, mm-hmm. of World Heritage Sites considered deemed status, that already sent shockwaves across the world. People were not seeing images of these beautiful, the Sud, breathtaking, you know, that had a feature article in National Geographic after they added to the tentative list. People around the world are starting to see another face of South Sudan that they haven't seen since it became independent. And this migratory landscape can really give a lot of national pride to the South Sudanese, and can also be a source of national cohesion for the different communities living there, because this is their heritage that they can be so proud of, and that can be shared, and something that people around the world are going to want to come visit. Mm-hmm. Right now, the security situation isn't really allowing for mass tourists, but you know, they were there before. There were tour operators there before. And as soon as we get the situation under control here, where it can be a safe place for visitors to come and explore, there's nothing that's going to stop people from wanting to come and discover this wonderful landscape. But if it's not preserved, if it's not already taken into you know, if we don't take urgent action, actually, then there's not going to be anything for them to come see. And so a lot of it is going to be about community awareness. You know, how can we get the kids in the school learning, you know, why this is important? How can we get some of the youth and some of the men going and hunting the bushmeat to understand, you know, these species are more important alive, and maybe they're not going to benefit that person for their dinner tonight, but it's going to benefit their children and their children's children. And this is going to be a place that everyone needs to protect for their, you know, for their national pride, but also this is their heritage, and this is something that they're, you know, the whole country can benefit from. So we need to start right away getting people to understand why is it important to safeguard this? And then, you know, first and foremost, for the people who live there, and then for the South Sudanese, and then for the world.
Right. Now, the meeting talks about a nomination of a dossier for the Boma Badinglo Migratory Landscape. Just explain to us what that means.
Okay. So, you know, as South Sudan ratified this World Heritage Convention, they're allowed to submit sites for World Heritage status. So preparing a World Heritage nomination dossier is a very long process and requires a few different measures. So the first step, South Sudan already took, they need to have a tentative list. So one of the sites you nominate has to be on your tentative list. Afterwards, you start a nomination file. So the nomination file basically describes, like, what's so outstanding about this site that we want to protect. So Kuhn spoke about the migration, so knowing the species. We also spoke earlier about the communities living there. Maybe we need to do a mapping of the communities and the cultural assets there. Certainly, we need to have the boundaries. As Betchu pointed out, we're combining the two national parks, Boma and Badinglo. So there's not right now a border around those. So that needs to be defined by the government. You know, what is the area that we're trying to protect? So that boundary. But another really important pillar is that we have the protection and management. So that's what we've been working on the past year through generous funding from Netherlands Funds and Trust. We've been coming up with, in partnership with Wildlife Conservation Society and with our expert Kuhn and the Juba office, coming up with management and conservation plan for the site. So if a site becomes World Heritage, it has to be held to the highest conservation standards. You know, so these are, so once we get the form, the nomination file filled out for the site, then it would be submitted to the World Heritage Committee. So an advisory mission would be undertaken to recommend whether it should be inscribed or not, and then finally the World Heritage Committee would vote on it.
Right. And now, just before we let you go, what happens next after today's meeting?
So we will visit the site, talk to communities, talk to community leaders, look at their engagement, look at their willingness to nominate the site as a World Heritage Site as well. So there's still, I think, a long path that we have to walk in terms of ensuring that the government takes the lead on this, on this nomination, and that key ministries are involved, like Carolyn said earlier, that the landscape that's managed in a sustainable way, that it's, the asset is not destroyed before we can protect it. So what we will do now with UNESCO is assist the government in the nomination process and ensure that all the required steps are taken in terms of management, protection, community participation, sustainable development approaches, and other aspects of the nomination.
All right. Just finally, as you leave the studio, I would like to go through all of you just in less than 1 minute each. Any message you like to send out there, especially when it comes to the issues of Boma Badinglo migratory landscape? What are some of your messages out there?
Well, I would just like to thank Radio Maria, because it's through programs like this that we can spread the word. And I think awareness raising about this is going to be key to its success. So the more you can all talk about it and spread the word, I think the better. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Beshin.
Thank you, Radio Maria. What I will pass out to our listeners is that to take up, to own this Boma Badingilo migratory landscape as their own, protect it, conserve it, and then becomes their own national heritage. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kuhn.
Yes, I think this is something the South Sudanese can be very proud of. This is amazing site. I mean, this is so beautiful. It's unique in the world. This is an asset. So if we can all come together and protect this for the benefit and as a cornerstone in peace building and national reconciliation, national pride, I think this is a real asset for South Sudan. You can be very proud of this. Thank you.